Have your Bibles tonight, Ephesians, chapter number 6, little ones, little children, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, slip right on out. Appreciate all those that help. Tonight, I believe we'll get done a little early. I don't know that you believe that, but I do want to make that announcement in advance. If John Macheski was here, he'll say, I'd wait till I see it to believe it. Let me draw your attention tonight. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is writing to a church that did almost everything right. You read Revelation chapter 2, you'll find in chapter 3 that they did everything right, except they sort of in time did things out of duty. In other words, I want you to listen tonight that God does not want you and I to do things out of rote duty. He does not want you and I to do things the way we've always done them. He wants you to do them with heart unto Him. You're going to find that as a theme. So wives, don't love your husband because you got to. Husbands, don't love your wives because you got to. Children, don't obey your parents because you got to. Children, don't honor your parents because you've got to. Do it because it is right and it is honoring to the Lord and you want to. The greatest of Christians are able to make that gentle transition from obedience because I have to obedience because I want to. And that changes everything in the sight of the Lord. And God wants all of us to get up and spend time with Him in the mornings and to fellowship with Him in the mornings in our daily devotions because we want to, not because we have to. And so if you'll understand, He didn't save you because He had to. He saved you because He wanted to. And He doesn't save you and say, you've got to do what's right. If you don't, you're going to die and go back to hell. He says, I'm going to save you forever, and then I'm going to give you the freedom to live how you want to. Now prove that you love me. Completely different from all the religions on earth. It is the great separator. Now I want you to notice there are, in the book of Ephesians, chapters 1, 2, and 3 is talking about our great salvation, things that God has done for us. In chapters 3, 4, and 5, and 6, you'll notice that we begin to find out and notice, if you would, chapter 3 and 4 about our personal walk with the Lord. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 4, it says, I beseech you, chapter 4, verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, that you walk worthy of the vocation. So he's speaking to individual people about their walk with the Lord. Chapter 5, you'll notice, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. He's urging us, you and I, and these Christians, to walk with the Lord because we love Him. He's urging us to have a sweet fellowship with the Lord. And there are certain ingredients involved in that. But then in chapter 6, you'll notice verses 1 through 4 is involving, chapter 5 at the end of it, and chapter 6 is involving relationships, and it begins to revolve around relationships. Notice, if you would, in chapter 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There's, I want all the people in the church to submit yourself one to another. And so there's the local church, and then he narrows it down to local families. In verse 22, he says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 23, husbands ahead of the wife. Notice verse number 25, husbands, love your wives. So he gets into the husband and wife relationship. And it's about how well a relationship you have is important to the Lord. But it's also a testimony. It's also something other people see. But God is not worried about what other people see necessarily. In this section, He's worried about what is real in your family. And then you notice chapter 6 and verse 1 through 4, He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So He deals with every person in the church in the earlier chapters, and now chapter 5, the last part, and chapter 6, the first part, He deals with individuals in the family. And then notice, if you would, beginning in verse 5, He deals with Christians at work. And you could use the same thing, the same principles with Christians at school, with Christians at anywhere outside the local church. Notice verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh. Literally, this passage is speaking to the slaves that had become Christians. And he said, I want you to submit yourselves to your masters like it's the Lord. In other words, all of us are to submit ourselves one to another that we might win others and please Christ. Our relationships tell people how genuine we are in Christ. Notice, if you would, he says in verse 5, as servants to be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, with respect. And there's this fear of disappointment in our hearts. Very few of us ever get to this point. Now keep in mind, these are slaves. So it could be you go to work, and in reality, your boss or your company is purchasing you for 8 hours. They are owning you for 8 hours. You may not like to think of it that way, but that's the way God does. You're going to go to work, but he says, look, I see it that this is the opportunity for you to show your company or your master me by the way you are there. And notice what he says. You obey your masters with fear and trembling, with respect. You don't want to disappoint them. You want to obey them. So your boss says, I want you to do this project. You obey him with fear and trembling, with your desire to do your best. And notice, if you would, he says, in singleness of heart. Now, literally, this singleness of heart is with no pretense. It's with the purpose, because you're trying to please Christ through your boss. Notice with me, if you would, it's the word to, it's free of pretense and hypocrisy. Well, I'll do it as long as he's watching. I'll do it because I got to get the money. I'll do it as long as I have to. But one of these days, I'm going to be out of here. He says, forget all those pretenses. He said, do it because you want to do it, because you're there and you're trying to represent the Lord in your workplace. Now, that's one thing, because in your workplace, you do have the option to say, if I don't want to work here, I can work someplace else. But these people did not. They were captives. And he looked at them and says, I want you to obey your masters for my sake. You know what he's trying to say? He's trying to say our lives are temporary. You're temporarily on this earth. So represent me well. Now notice, if you would, he says, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, a single purpose, not because you want the money, not because you want a promotion, not because there's this pretense, I'll do what you want me to until I can get to this position, because I want this position. You do it because you're God's child and you're trying to make an impact on the Lord himself. So whatever your boss says, you want to do it in such a way that God sees your relationship, your fellowship to your boss, as one that is pleasing to God, because he's watching that relationship, that fellowship. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6, he says, in singleness of heart as unto Christ. So the single purpose that you have at being at work is unto Christ. Your obedience to your boss is as unto Christ. So you're obedient to your boss. You do anything he wants you to do. Of course, that's right. I'm not talking about blindness. But you do anything you're supposed to do that he's asked you to do unto Christ. I want Christ to be pleased with the way that I do it. Very few Christians work like this. But he said, all of us are supposed to. And notice what he says, not with eye service. Now, I like this part. That means not while he's watching you. While he's got his eyes on you, man, you work like the dog. You're working hard and you're hustling back and forth. You're on your computer and your focus is there. And then your boss is gone. And then you check your favorite scores, or you check your favorite this, or you check your favorite that. We don't work diligently unto Christ. Now, notice, if you would, he says this, not with eye service. I can remember people years ago in construction that worked harder when the boss was around than they did when he wasn't around, but then everybody noticed that. And they lost respect for those people. So if you're a Christian, it's obvious that your single purpose is not to please Christ. Because if it's to please Christ, we work the same all the time. Because Christ is always watching. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord in every place beyond the evil and the good. So you represent Christ on this earth while you're laboring for your boss. Now notice with me, if you would, he said, not with eye service, as men pleasers. A lot of people try to please their bosses, but they're called men pleasers. You can be a husband pleaser. You can be a wife pleaser. You can be a parents pleaser. Now, we're supposed to please our boss, but that's not the simple purpose. That's not the single goal. It's to please the Lord. Every young person's got to get out of your mind. You're just going to please your teacher. You got to get that out of your mind. You're trying to please the Lord. Now, how does that change the way you study? You got to get out of your mind. You're going to clean your house so that your husband sees it. You got to get out of your mind. You're going to cook the food so that your family sees it. You got to get out of their mind. You're cooking your food because the Lord sees it. That's his point. Notice he says in verse 5, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. So forget the eye service as somebody's watching. You're going to have a big meal when it comes for Thanksgiving. You're going to invite the family over. Be careful that there's not eye service. Or let me just say this, eye testing. I want Grandma to be pleased with that, this turkey. Sure, there's some of that. But it's unto Christ. If we could just learn that principle is what caused these churches to reach the entire known world. Those that have turned the world upside down have come here. What guys? The people that served their masters, that served their bosses in such a fact that Christ was pleased and the whole world was affected. We've lost that as Christians. Notice what he says in verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Obviously, there are those that are pleasing men. And obviously, we're supposed to try to please our bosses, but that's not our single purpose. As the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Do you understand that our purpose today is to please those that are over us? But ultimately, are you pleased, Christ? That changes your marriage. I want my husband to be pleased with me. But Lord, are you pleased with me? That'll make you apologize for the smallest of things. That'll prevent you from holding a grudge from the smallest of things. Why? Because it's not just you're trying to please your husband or your wife or your boss or your parents. You're trying to please Christ. Can you do that this week? Can you work on that? Christ pleasers this week. Notice what he says? As the servants of Christ. Now, how many of you, let me ask this question. Look up this way. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to be in the will of God this week? How many like to be in the will of God this week? Okay. Let me give you the will of God. Look in verse number 6. But as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So this week, the will of God is for you to be a Christ pleaser at work from your heart. Whether your boss is watching or not, be a Christ pleaser. That's the will of God. So it's for the young people, the will of God for you this week is to do your work at school, do your homework, prepare for your tests as unto Christ and not for your teachers or your parents. That's the will of God. That's what he wants for you. How would that change us? How would that change the people around us, the way they see us, if we just did that? If we just served with the singleness of purpose unto Christ. That doesn't mean walk up to your boss and say, I'm not trying to please you anymore, I'm trying to please the Lord. That doesn't mean that. I'm going to try to please you as the Lord. I'm going to do my best to make you extremely happy, and Lord, I want to fulfill your will this week. You see, it's hard for him to convict the heart of your boss, saved or not. Maybe your boss is saved and straying from the Lord in his heart. You could be the instrument God says, do you see the way he works? That's what I expect of you. Do you see how loyal he is to his family? Do you see his heart? Do you see how hard he puts his mind? Do you see the single purpose of his life is to please his God? I want that from you, to your boss. But he can't reach down and touch his heart without your obedience and mine. Children, you want the Lord to work on your parents' hearts? Do your will of God for you. And then God can work on your parents' hearts. Notice with me, if you would. In verse number 6, he says, doing the will of God from the heart. There's the key to it, from the heart. Well, pastor said, you know, I'm supposed to do God's will this week. Pastor said I'm supposed to work hard at work. So I'm going to work hard this week. So I can go up to pastor and say, hey, pastor, I did a good job this week. I'm not the standard. I got the same requirement you do. It's from the heart. You see, that's the genuineness of the Christian walk. You're to love your husband from the heart. You're to love your wife from the heart. You're to love your parents from the heart. You're to obey those that are over you from the heart. That's the secret to the Christian walk to make a difference in the people around you. Over time, everybody sees that. That effort to please the Lord, that effort to make things right at work and to do things right at work and the effort, that's the secret to the Christian life. Making an impact on the world around us is your heart in it. And notice, if you would, in verse 7, with goodwill doing service. This sort of gets into a little bit of the attitude. With a kind spirit. With goodwill. The idea to be a with goodness and kindness. I want to serve with a pleasant spirit. With goodwill doing the service. I want to make you look good today, boss. Mom, Dad, I want you to look good at school. I want people to look and say, wow, the parents, they raised a young man that's trying to please the Lord. Wow. Do you realize every time you and I try to make our parents look good, we're pleasing the Lord? Every time you try to make the teacher look good, do you know what a teacher feels like when she gives out a test, let's say an English test or a math test or a history test, and 60% of the kids make a 70 or a 50 or an 80? How do you feel as a teacher? I did something wrong. Ah. Now, you know, sometimes kids just cannot study, not be prepared. The teacher says, you know, I should have given them more time, or I should have done this, or I should have done that. Teachers, don't raise your hand. But how many times have we done that? Wow, I should have done something different. I should have done this. I should have done that. How many times does a parent say, oh, I should have done this, or I should have done that? Because children don't obey their parents and the Lord, for this is right from the heart. You see, there are two central themes in all these relationships. Doing what's right, obedience, from the heart unto Christ. You see how that changes everything? Notice with me, if you would, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not unto man. Do you notice he says in verse number 5, as unto Christ, and verse 6, doing the will of God, and verse 7, as to the Lord and not unto men. You get what he's trying to say? He's trying to say, what you do, do for me. How you live, live for me. Even in your workplace, everywhere you go, all of your relationships, the people that are affected by your presence, all of them unto Christ, unto me, not unto men, not because people are watching. Folks, if we could just change that little motivation in our lives, it would change all of us. I'm going to do this for your sake, Lord. I want to be on time this morning, Lord, for your sake. I'm going to get up this morning for your sake. Lord, I want to get up and have my devotions this morning for your sake. Lord, I want to prepare this meal tonight for your sake. I want you to, Lord, I did my best. Doesn't this look good? And the people are going, wow, Mom, what are you trying to do? Wow, this looks great. Unto the Lord. Notice with me, if you would, verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Now the Lord puts it into a perspective of reward. He says, whatever you do and the way you do it, I'm going to pay you back. So if you labor diligently. Now let's give you a couple things. If you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs. We're going to look at a few verses over here regarding return or reward on our efforts. Regarding reward on our efforts. Turn me, if you would, to Proverbs 10 and verse number 4. He that becometh poor dealeth with a slack hand. In other words, he doesn't put his shoulder to the plow. He doesn't work hard. He that becometh poor. If you don't labor diligently, it's a part of the reason why you don't have much or why what you've got begins to slip away. It's a principle of Scripture. But notice the next part. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. It's a principle of God. If you work hard, if you're diligent at it, if you're consistent at it, if you labor at it. Now keep in mind, this is not even saying unto the Lord. There's another level on top of this. If you're laboring for the Lord, the Lord's going to make it even more multiplied. But he says the diligent, it maketh rich. If you're diligent at getting to work on time, you're diligent with this, you get raises and you get bonuses and you're diligent and you're diligent and you're diligent at school. You make A's and make B's and B's and B pluses and A's. If you're diligent, you're diligent. If you deal with a slack hand, I'll get that in a little later. I'll get that in. You're going to notice the poorness begin to slip away. You're going to notice the things that you have begin to slip aside. Notice with me, if you would, take your Bible and turn to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Look at verse 30. Let's start in verse 29. Proverbs 24, 29. Say not, I will do to him as he hath done to me. I will render the man according to his work. In other words, if my employee doesn't work hard, I won't give him much. If he doesn't, I'll render to him as he renders to me. And then notice this, in verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful. And by the vineyard of the man that was void of understanding. He didn't understand that if you don't work hard, you don't have much. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down, indicating a lack of diligence about maintaining his property. And then verse number 32, and here's the key. I want you all to make note of this tonight. Then I saw and considered it well. Young people, tonight, will you see what God says and consider it well? Listen to this verse. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free, whether you're a slave or you're a free man. He said, the Lord is the one that honors us and rewards us. But he uses principles. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 32, then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. I learned something. Have you learned something tonight that if you're diligent with your efforts at work, you're going to succeed over time? The diligent get promoted. The diligent get more work given to them. The diligent get noticed. The diligent are blessed. Principle of Scripture. The diligent in school, you do your homework and you do it with your heart in it as unto Christ. God says, I'm going to see to you, you get blessed. You'll notice your grades rise if you work like that. But you'll also notice if you learn the lesson. I see some guy that doesn't try much, and I see him complaining about the teachers. And I see him not making very good grades, and I see him dissatisfied with school. And he said, I noticed, he said, their place was all grown over thorns and nettles and the stone walls falling down. He's a little disheveled. He doesn't take care of himself, and his books are all over the place. And I noticed, you know, he doesn't make good grades. Well, notice he says, I saw something. I learned something. I don't want to be like that. Lord, I want to take care of my books the way you want me to. Lord, I want to take care of my homework the way you want me to. Lord, I want to take care of the tasks that you've given me at work the way you want me to. I want to return my phone calls the way you want me to. Notice with me, if you would, verse 33. Yet a little sleep, a little falling of the hands, a little slumber, a little falling of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. You don't know when it's coming. It just shows up. That's what you'll notice. How many of you have ever owned a home and you moved and they did a home inspection on your house? How many ever had that happen to you? Miss your hand. Okay? How many times did the home inspector come out with a list? How many know what I'm talking about? How many know what I'm talking about? And you said, man, I don't know, my house is falling apart. It's not really. But you know what you have to do? You have to keep up on things. You have to take note on things. Well, the caulking around the tub is this, and the caulking around the window is this. And have you taken your car to Jiffy Lube, and you found out you couldn't even drive it out without spending $8,000, or it was going to fall apart? How many of you ever had that happen to you? Or you take it to a mechanic shop, and they say, man, you got this, and you got this. This filter's bad, and this filter's bad. You look like a derelict owner, I'm telling you. By the time they're done, you want to just kind of crawl out. It's embarrassing when they come out, and you're in the room. Mr. Pittman is like, oh, I'm going to get called on the carpet. And you go up, and he says, did you know? And he goes down the list of things, and you go, well, wow. Did I even put gas in it to get here? I don't know. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to get more work. But you know, the more diligent you are, the more you look around your house and your property and your cars and your clothes, and it's well. The more diligent you are, you notice your grades begin to rise. The more diligent you are, the more somehow you get promoted at work. Because there's a principle in Scripture. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall I receive of the Lord. The Lord says, I'll pay you back. So that's the reason why you work hard for the Lord. Because he's the one that's going to pay you. Now, if you knew you were going to get paid back for everything that you did, every cold cup of water, every kind compliment, every note, every letter, how diligent would you be? Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. He said, it doesn't matter if you're a slave or if you're a free man. I'm going to pay you the same. I'm going to take care of you. And then he pauses. Now, that's to all of us that have masters. That's to all of us that were slaves. They were bought and paid for in this day. Then he changed it and he says, oh, by the way, your masters, do the same things unto them. Oh, be good to those that are under you, those that work for you. You try to help them. You try to be good to them. You try to find ways to please them and try to find ways to be good to them. You try to do that to them, because notice what he says. The same in verse number 9, forbearing, threatening. You know what he's saying? Because you're the boss, you can threaten your employees. You better do this or else. You better do this or else. He says, forbear threatening. That doesn't mean an employee doesn't do a good job and you know, look, you can get fired for not doing a good job. That's standard operating procedure. If you and I don't follow the rules at work, we can get fired. You can't just claim, well, I work hard, but I don't have to obey the rules. You can't do that. So you can look here, he says, your masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. The idea is that your employee is doing their best and you're threatening them, saying you got to do more. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were working for for Pharaoh, and then they said, okay, you're not working hard enough, and they beat them to make them work harder. And you know, I think all of us work a little harder if we went to work and got beat every day. We'd try our best to do a bit more. But you'll notice he says, masters, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master is in heaven. There is no employer, no CEO that's higher than the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm watching all of you. Notice what his words are. Knowing that your master also is in heaven, and neither is the respect of persons with him. And God's saying right here, I don't care if you're the CEO of Ford Motor Company, you work for me. I don't care if you're the CEO of Salient, you work for me. I don't care if you're in charge of and fill in the blank. He says, you've got a master and he's in heaven. He's watching out the way you treat people. Tonight, do you understand the principles he's laying down here? I want you to notice, listen to this verse. I'll close. Masters, this is Colossians 4:1. You don't have to turn there. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. Now, if you got a servant that's working extra hard, you're going to give him extra. Give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing also that you have a master in heaven. You know what he's trying to say? this week, when you go to work, the will of God is for you to make a difference by your effort and by your motivation unto me. Could I challenge all of us this week to represent Christ? Do the will of God at school, at work, at home. Represent Christ. Being a Christian is not just in this building. It's every footstep you take. How is your motivation? Unto Christ. Not with eye service. Are they watching? Singleness of purpose unto Christ. Tonight, let's have a singleness of purpose this week. Every one of us. And let's please Him. Let's bow His word of prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. And how many of you have a boss tonight that's unsaved and sure would like to see his heart stirred for Christ? How many of you would raise your hand to that? I have a boss that's unsaved, or a supervisor that's unsaved, and you sure would love to see them trust Christ. Would you raise your hand? All of the building. Raise it up. Yes. Yes. All over. Oh, do you understand the will of God tonight? The will of God for you is to reach them by your effort, by your purpose. Let's pray about that tonight. If you need to come and ask the Lord for more grace, maybe your boss is a threatening boss. Pray for him. Remember, obedience doesn't matter if it's threatening or not. Remember, unto Christ doesn't matter. Let's please him. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. I thank you for your precious word that is so practical. In your name we pray. Amen.